Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville, Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag at 2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go.
In 2022, there is a general feeling of voter apathy around the country. This is on both sides of the two-party system. Perhaps the basis of this unconcern is the lack of vigils for families and communities, as opposed to political party affiliation. Historically, there have been influential figures who've offered example for social organizations. What kind of thoughts and actions are good for individuals, families, and communities? Today, to bring themselves out to cast a vote in this election coming up in about 28 days from now. And the reason being is because they feel as though we don't have anybody really representing our best interests. We're disappointed. We've heard promises after promise from both sides, Democrats, Republicans, Republicans, Democrats. And you look at the economy and people's day-to-day struggle, it speaks volumes. So what am I voting for, they say. Hear it all the time. All right? Join me tonight as we offer insight to how four influential figures in American history, particularly Afro-American history, may vote. That being Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Frederick Douglass, Dr. Carter Goodwin Whitson, and Malik El-Haj Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. How would they vote if they had to cast a vote on November 8th, 2022, this coming year? How do you think they would vote. Give us a call here, 657-383-0944. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We've been on hiatus a little bit, but we're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. And I see my call in queue there. But I want you to give me a call here, 657-383-0944. Facebook, thank you for joining us. If you're checking us out live now, go ahead and give me a call. I'd love to hear your comments and share with you. Post your comment in the comment section there on Facebook, and we'll do our best to share that with the audience and engage you the best way we can, all right? Now, so the question is, how would these men vote this coming November 8th, 28 days out? You hear the pundits and the pollsters talk about how it's going to be a red wave. Some say it's going to be a blue wave, right? There are people on the ballot as independents. How do you think Dr. King, Carter G. Woodson, Malcolm X, or Frederick Douglass would vote? I'll take time to try to explain a little bit of their background and give you context, and that may help you answer that question, how you think they may vote. But that's our discussion night. That's our discussion night. And I got a young lady here. She touched my heart with this song. And after we hear from her just a few minutes, we go straight to our little mini monologue and then open up the phone lines. All right? And listen to what she says. Listen to what she says. Listen to what she says. Thank God. Sure. If you do these things, you shall never fall. It sounds like to me that if I were to summarize this text, that if we're careful to take certain principles and certain ideas and all we do, including your decision to participate in the electoral process on November 8th, you won't fall. You'll be guided by principles of righteousness and truth. Make your call in your election, sure. Go vote. Go vote, but make your call and your election sure. All right? Now, the question that was posed is, how do you think these brothers would vote? Let's look at them for a second. Let's see who they are, and let's see what their reputation is. Frederick Augustus Douglass, being the father of Negro suffrage in America, voting rights. See, he pushed even after Lincoln was assassinated in 1870, we got the 15th Amendment to the Constitution that guaranteed that at least Negro men could vote along with their white male counterparts. Frederick Douglass, his idea was voting was essential to being free an American citizen. That's where his position was. Let's where these other brothers were and see if they were to put their influence into play on November 8th, how do you think they would vote, Democrat or Republican or Independent? Or would they not vote at all? Let's see. Well, Dr. Carter Goodwin Whitson encouraged Negro to be educated, to empower themselves through education, and to have self-determination. We can see that in his seminal work, first published in 1933, and since published several times, republished, The Miseducation of the Negro, where he suggested heavily in his thesis that if an individual is truly educated, they are empowered for themselves. I wonder how he might vote. Which party or which candidate would he choose on November 8th? Interesting. Okay, let's get it. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know his story. He pushed to solidify the 15th Amendment during the Civil Rights era when he pushed for the Voting Rights Act of 1964. Some would argue that if the 15th Amendment lived up to what it was supposed to, it shouldn't have been no need, no problem. In reality, though, there was a need for Congress to act, and by the efforts of Dr. King, they did. His whole thing was, if you're able to participate wholly and freely in the electoral process, you can determine your outcomes economically, socially, and politically, specifically the Negro. All right? That was Dr. King. I think he might vote if he had to cast a vote on November 8th. But before you answer that, let's get to Brother Malik Alhaj Shabazz, also known as Malcolm X. He spoke about voting in his lifetime, and he suggested that in 64, that it was the ballot or the bullet. People should go to the ballot and vote to control their outcomes, or there was going to be bloodshed in the streets. Because in his mind, voting was about self-empowerment in the United States. Self-empowerment. If he had to vote on November 8th, 2022, which party or individual, which candidate do you think he would cast a vote for? That's the question. That's the question we'd like for you to help me answer tonight right here on Talk Straight. 657-383-0944. Post your question, your comment there. Get back with me. Holler at me. I've got one call in the house already. Let's go to him. 3369. Welcome to Talk Straight on this October 11th. 2022. Welcome, caller. Can you hear me, caller?
Uh, Are you talking about me?
Yeah, I'm talking about you. Your number is 954, last two digits 3369, right? That would be you, right?
Yeah.
I know who this is. This is Brother Horton, Brother Josh Horton, our good friend, Brother Josh Horton. Welcome, sir. What do you think, Joshua? You heard what I said about Frederick Douglass, what I said about Carter G. Woodson, what I said about Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. How do you think those men, based on their mentality, would vote on November 8th, or would they not vote at all?
I think some of them today would not vote at all. Some of them will vote. Some of them wouldn't care.
I see. And why would you say that? Which one wouldn't care today? Which one would say, forget it, it's all a hot mess? Who would say that of those men?
Right now, it is like you have the Indians, you have everybody is doing their own thing.
That's true.
Really?
That's true. So you know that there's a big cry about people voting for Democrats because they believe that's going to help sustain efforts to keep Roe versus Wade alive some, or abortion rights. And then there are people who say you should vote Republican because it's going to restore the rights of parents and change a lot of what's called wokeness and things of that nature in the country today. But these men, Frederick Douglass, do you think he would waste his time on those issues? What do you think, Josh?
You said, what was the guy that you said?
Frederick Douglass, you know, he was, go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You were listening about Malcolm X. I didn't get that. I didn't get that either to hear.
Let's do this. Let's take them one at a time. And other callers come in, we'll bring them in. Okay, let's take them one at a time. Let's start with Frederick Douglass. All right? Frederick Douglass is noted as the father of Negro voting. In fact, he was the one that pushed to allow, after the Civil War, after the 14th Amendment guaranteeing some rights of citizenship, he was the one that pushed Congress bring the 15th Amendment in 1870, thereby allowing Negro men to vote. Okay.
Yeah,
do you think, hold on one second, listen to me so you understand the question. Do you think, given the sentiment of today, that he would participate in the electoral process? And if not, why? All right, go ahead. That's the question. Let's go with that.
Don't think in this society he would care as much.
Okay.
How the rules and how this society has gotten.
Hmm.
So if I were to shake his hand. We will be like, why are we shaking our hands? Why are we doing this?
Why are we even dealing with the matters that we're dealing with? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going this way. Do you want to go that way?
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. That's very interesting. Okay, I got another call on. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish, Josh. Go ahead. Then we'll go to another call there. Go ahead, Josh, finish.
It's now, and it's changed so much, and things that you would never do, they do all the time.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. All right, let me go to this. This is Pastor Wallace joining us, our co-host here. The two-time author, powerful book, Still High, and the most important and most recent one, The Flip Side. The Flip Side. Welcome, Brother Pastor. How you doing this evening?
Hey, I'm all right now. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
I'm holding it in the road the best I can.
Okay. All right. Well, that's well enough, man. You can't ask for no more than that. That wouldn't be fair.
I mean, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
My daddy used to say he got a hard-head mule, and he'd tell the mule to go right, the mule want to go left. So he had to pull a drawstring on the mule and tell him, whoa, mule, bad. Oh, man, I feel like sometimes I'm pulling a hard-head mule.
Yeah, man, but, you have something to work with, so that's good.
Yes, sir. Brother Josh is on with us. Will you welcome Josh tonight, Pastor?
Oh, my man, Brother Josh. Man, how you doing, man? Always it's a pleasure to have you on the show, man. So we want to welcome you with a joy deep within. And I'm glad to know I heard your voice. I knew that was you, but I wanted to make sure. So I know what Pastor Doc said to welcome you, then that means that is Josh, the one and only.
Hey, the
man.
One and only.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We're glad to have you, man. Always a pleasure.
Thank you.
So, Pastor, Josh and I were talking about tonight. I was asking, I listed four men, and you know how crazy things are around the country with voting, about abortion, about critical race theory, about violence, and economic issues. Frederick Douglass was the one that fought to make sure that black men can vote, right, in 1870. And he did a lot of other things to get the 13th and 14th Amendment. Do you think he would fool with this mess today, Pastor? Or would he just say, I ain't going out there and vote? If he was around today, would he say, I ain't messing with that because all of them are a bunch of, that's just some junk. Would he encourage people to actually go and try to make a difference there?
Well, I just like to say, man, I know you said he did some things that was extraordinary, sound like. And when he was able to become affiliated with that, it was during a time where
right.
To stand for togetherness was in existence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he got it. I just like to believe that because he stepped up and it wasn't popular. And in today's time, it could become unpopular and you say, what would he think of it? I think he would hold his ground. You know, he made that move. It was personal. It wasn't nothing against nobody else. It was just personal, something
right.
that he felt like he could do to make a difference. And,
That's right.
I think he just stay with it, you know, throw his hands up in the air because to act like he don't care. That's what he'd be doing. He'd be pretending that he don't really care, man.
Yeah.
I like to believe that didn't know the guy, not at all, but just the
of
it.
All we know of him is what history tells us, right? That's all we know of what the history books have about him. We know, and
sounds
we
like
can
he cared,
see the, sure he did. You know, in fact, a white man named John Brown encouraged him to go kill a bunch of white people to free the slaves. He said, no, that's crazy, man. Don't do that.
Oh, man.
You're going to come up short.
Okay.
You're going to come up short. I'm paraphrasing now.
Okay.
And sure enough, John Brown got hung and everybody else to help him. They killed a whole lot of black men that joined his rebellion. See? Nat Turner, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that didn't work out too well for him. That didn't work out too well.
So he dealt with it with a different approach. So he
absolutely
he stayed.
Yeah.
Stayed positive in the situation.
Correct.
Stayed positive.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you know, gentlemen, there are some people who believe that if I can't vote for a Republican, or if I can't go vote for a Democrat, I ain't gonna vote at all. Is that logical? Do you think that would be the position? Now, Frederick Douglass was noted as a member of the Republican Party, Josh, during 1870. In fact, he ran as a vice president on the Republican ticket. But do you think he would be of the position now that he have to run as a Republican or vote as Republican or Democrat in 2022 if he had to vote today? What do you think, Josh?
No. I think he can. No. I think he can vote for what he believes is the right way to go. He doesn't have to just vote on Democrat or Republican if he doesn't believe that's the right way to go, then there's other ways.
Interesting. Okay. And I give a little background to his history so people can kind of understand, as Pastor Waller was saying, how he stood ground on certain principles. For him, he understood that if you're going to be free, the electoral process, your voice is heard. That's how you determine who represents you. You understand what I mean? And so his whole point was, you definitely need to vote. We're free now, right? And now we got rights of citizenship, so we need to be able to exercise those through the ballot box. And he encouraged people to vote. But in 2022, there are people who, you know, sadly, some of them, I've heard people say they ain't going to vote at all. So there ain't nobody. They don't like the Democratic Party or Republican.
It's true. There's so many people that are like, we don't care. Let's buy something else. We don't care about that thing.
Right. Right. Well, I've heard it said that if you're not at the table, you're likely on the menu. Huh? You're not controlling the setting of the table. You're likely on the menu. What about that, Pastor?
Yeah. So what I was hearing from Joshua is, a person that maybe does not participating, it could be a thing where some may even say, I just would like to have the right one, and I just believe the right one is going to do what's right.
Yeah.
And so
right.
Who is the right one? And that could be what could be. Is there a right one, or is it just one? So be the one, whoever that one, you know. And it would be beautiful person knew who the right one was, and I probably the poll would be over flooding. Possibly.
If it was the right one.
If it was the right one, you know, it seemed like they would have to to go into overtime, so they got so many people wanting to vote now. Amen. And so that could be the person's not caring. I like to just say, well, you know, at the point now with all the things that's going on, and then when this particular party get the slot, the other particular party don't think they're right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Personal, this particular party gets it, and then the other particular party say they're not right. So it's like, what do you do? What do you do?
Right.
How do you go about doing it when you just don't know who's right? Because the other one is not right, and then the other one said that this one is not right. But somebody,
great question,
somebody
that's
got
a great
right.
question.
That's tough.
And so here's the thing. When I started out, I was talking about how many people are not used to determining for themselves who the right one is for me. See, when you go in that box, it's just you and your voice. And some people many people haven't come to the point where they're determining who is it that I think should represent me. A lot of times people go in there doing that and they get disappointed because their choice don't win. You see what I mean?
Oh, man.
And they just say, well, forget about it. I ain't going to mess with it no more because I'm giving up on it. But if you do that, don't you kind of give up on yourself? Don't you kind of give up on yourself if you do that?
And that's going to be tough, man. They determine at that point, sound like if that's the case, that they're determined.
Right.
And who actually do qualify to be able to cast a vote? Because I went through the streets today and not leaving the area in which we are talking about right now. But I went through that. I see all the people that's just lingering out in the streets. And they're at a certain location. I asked myself the question. I said, is this just happening on this side of town? Or is it like that on every side? You know, they posted up in a certain place.
Wow.
And nobody is saying, you can't be right here. Mm. You can't be right here. The law didn't come and break them up and nothing like that. It's all right. And I guess they probably posted it up and doing what they know to do. So I can only imagine, you know, the police officers just riding by, seeing them over there and say, well, they're just doing what they do. They're not doing any harm. They're not breaking and entering in nobody's facility. They just punched up right here. You understand? I don't know if that's happened on every day. Yeah, it was just today when I seen that. And I just pulled over there myself. And that's the reason I'm bringing it up. I pulled over there where all of them was. And I got out. Just right there where the store, just waiting for somebody to pull up so they can do whatever it is that they do. So when I pulled up, they wanted to come to my car. But I said, well, wait, I'm getting ready to get out. So, and of course, they want to know if they can get a nickel, a quarter, a dime, a dollar, or buy me a drink, this. And, you know, so you're right by a nickel store, you're right by a little convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
So between the two, never get a chance to get off the lot with $2 or $3 that they may come up with, because at the facility, they're going to get the money from them, and I guess that's probably why they allowed them to stand out there and do what they're doing. When you come down, you're talking about voting. I just thought, I wonder how many of those people would be willing and have a
interesting.
But they can't get a that's focus a in because they're locked into what they're doing.
Wow, that is a good question.
That was quite a smart amount of people that was there. So I just felt like on every side of town, if that many people are posted up at a location and it's being allowed, and the outcome for whatever the amount of time, I don't know. I just only spent maybe 40 minutes there, possibly. And I spoke the word of God. I took my basketball out, and I did some things with it. I shared with them that I understand where they are. And one person was like, I don't want to continue to live like this. Well, I knew God was moving then. It's what I'm saying.
Wow.
And so they were able to break away in spite of the power the enemy was doing or what grip that the enemy had on. That person was able to break loose because they ended up getting a card from his having a card because I really don't want to continue to live like this. And see, that's the thing, man.
That's
the thing.
Wow.
Yeah, brother.
Wow.
I experienced that. So I'm saying all that to say that could have been quite a bit of people that would have been willing to vote but don't have no knowledge of voting is even going on because they're caught up in doing whatever they're doing. So I just had that thought, man. I thought I'd share that. Yeah.
Oh, that's
when it comes down to that amount of people. I wonder, do they really care or could they care?
Mm.
What would it be like if they didn't have that going on? Like that person that said, I don't want to continue to live like this. Do you have a card? And once I got ready to pass one of the cards out, that person snatched that card out of my hand so fast to make sure nobody else going to get that card before I get it because I heard what you said, and I don't like living like I'm living. And they're going to call me, and I'm just going to see how God moves on that person. You know, if you just reach one, man. So
what I'm saying
is what you doctor, just reach one, man, that believes in you, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, in spite of what the poll may polls sometimes don't show the heart of a person.
My God, help the Holy Ghost. Watch out now. I've been trying to sneak a preacher in on me, man.
I just thought I'd share that with you, man.
Tell
the
very one
that they think that don't deserve that vote, man, is possibly could be the one that's willing and ready to make a difference.
Oh, that must. Yeah, I mean, and you're right. There are so many people out there, they're probably not even registered to vote because, like you say, that's the last thing on their mind. They're trying to survive day by day. You know what I mean?
Sir.
And survival is about being on that corner, trying like the pool, the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, looking for something, for somebody to give them something. Huh?
And they see it, well, after I went over there, they see it like this, Pastor, that nobody else care. They just found a person that came over there, they care. They said, my goodness, he care about all these other people. They just ride on by like they don't see us over here. Like we're after them.
Watch out.
That's what they said. I didn't say that now.
No, I got you. I got you, big
Come in.
Come on, Josh. Come on.
When do we get one delegated? You're supposed to spread the gospel. You're not supposed to get in the end. You are because you at first had no knowledge of the gospel. So first, we have some knowledge, and then pass it on to another. And all those Psalms and Proverbs and all those. You're always supposed to pass it on and pass it on. You don't keep it.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And Josh, that's what the text in 2 Peter 1:7-10 was suggesting, where it ended by saying, give diligence to make role in your election, sure. Sounds like Brother Pastor, when he walked on the scene, he wasn't ambiguous about what his faith was, you know, what his righteousness was and the knowledge of Christ. He was fruitful in regards to those people that are just there hanging on the corner looking for something. We don't know exactly what, you know what I mean, asking for a quarter here or there, a dime or whatever the case may be, so he can get them a squig or get them something to eat, right? Just on the corner. But he came and represented the righteousness of Christ, and guess what it did? It caused somebody to say, hey, give me that so I can change my life. Let me get with you so I can, you know, I want to do something different. You know what I mean? And that's what the text is really talking about. It's making a call and election. Sure, you won't fall when you do that. You can't mess up then. You can't go short. You can't go short on that.
That's right. Glory to God. That's amazing, but that's the truth, though. That's good.
Yeah. And there's so many
people.
I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Pastor Lord. I apologize.
Yeah, no, I appreciate what you and Joshua said, man. I mean, it make a lot of sense. You know, you're just going to give it away because once upon a time I didn't know. And that made sense. I didn't know. And found out, I discovered absolutely. And they've been knowing this long before I did. And why they're not going out to people out, you know? And as you said, Pastor Dockery, they probably have no knowledge of no rights that they have or the lack of having the ability to do something like that because of what they're into right now. And, good point, good point.
Yeah, that was a time where, Josh, where human beings were treated like horses and cattle, pigs, and they were not allowed to. They were not allowed to express their human right, their humanity, their love, and things of that nature. But after this time in America, we're talking about in America now, constitutionally, the opportunity was afforded to them to do that. And one of those ways is through the ballot. Through the ballot box, you know, and now it seems like many people are, are void of that, man. They're void of that. And it begs the question.
Again, in a way, then, 85 years ago, and back even farther back than that.
What you say, Josh?
Oh, you didn't get all that.
Go ahead, Josh. You got the floor. We're listening to you, little brother. We're trying to take in everything you're saying.
Oh, I was just saying, and now it seems like it is even harder for Christian than ever before, about 30 and 50 years ago, it was hard, but it is hard right here, right this second. We're still having problems, tribulations, and color. If you're this color, you're going to be treated a different way, and it's kind of sad sometimes that everybody can't be treated the same way. Although they say everybody is treated the same, you know,
yeah.
Everybody isn't really treated the same way.
Okay.
Some
are okay.
Different. And to have that on your shoulders every day is like barriers over barriers. And you have us, we have there's less of us and more of us. And so we have our own little barriers too. So, like, what's going on here?
Well, that's a great question, Josh. That is a great – and I think it speaks to, as Pastor was saying, the complexity that many people find themselves facing. You would think that, because we're all a part of the human family, right? And we all have feelings, we all have drives. You would think that everybody would think the same way, Josh. But I think about the story of the Good Samaritan, where he found a man who wasn't from his side of town. He from the north side. He wasn't from the south side. From the north side. But he found this man on a meandering road, hurt, near death. And all these important people passed away with their suits on and their their bibles and their hats and everything. Yeah. Passed by this man on the ground near death. And a load somebody that's got on common clothes regularly, if you will, he stopped to help the man. You ask, what's really going on, man? I mean, what's up with this? What's up with this? I mean, don't nobody see this man about to die? Don't nobody see him in destitute situation? Ain't nobody going to stop and help him? Then some have the nerve, Pastor, to make the argument, man, you ain't from around here. You ain't got no business helping that man. We don't get out with
those
people.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. What about that?
The Samaritan.
Yeah, that's great.
He didn't even care about his own life and what might happen to him. All he cared about is there's a member of the human family near death. I can and I should do something for him. Are you with me?
That's something, man.
Yeah.
And what do you say, Josh? What do you say?
Yeah,
I was just going to add, Josh, if you follow the rest of that story, you'll find this man went all out and put it all on the line, Pastor Wallace. Put his own.
Put all out.
And told him, look, if there ain't enough, when I come back, I'll pay you whatever else more he needs. You take care of him, though. You get him back to heaven. My God.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So call me up when you get him there. I'll make sure you get everything that you need. Yeah.
If you think this little bit of money I gave you, that ain't enough, let me know. I'll hook you up when I come back here.
That's right. That's it.
Come back to it.
Yeah. Man.
Well, ain't nobody on the ballot that we can vote for like that, is it, Pastor? I don't know. Who gonna be thinking like that, man? Look.
Yeah.
Wait. that make it higher for us, then.
Man, I'm telling you, man.
Well, let me just 657-383-0944. Give us a call here. Facebook, give us a holler. If you're listening on podcasts, on Blog Talk Radio, give us a call, 657-383. The question is, of Brother Douglas, Frederick Douglass, the father of Negro suffrage or voting, Carter G. Woodson, who wrote The Miseducation of the Negro, Push for Self-Determination. If we were looking at Brother Dr. Martin Luther King, who pushed to make sure that you get the vote so that you can have a voice, and Brother Malika House, but Malcolm X, who said it was the ballot of the bullet, you know what I mean? Because it was about self-empowerment. Would these men fool around with the electoral process in 2022, November 8th? Would they even stay at home if they were here? Or would they encourage people to go out there and vote? And for what? And Pastor Waller just laid it out. He and Josh just laid it out. If it was somebody we really believed in, Lord, we might get up and do it. But where they at? Where they at, Pastor?
Yeah.
Who? I mean, same old clown. Same old 6-10 routine. Where they at? They're for what? Help me with that, brother Pastor.
Yeah, you named some people, man, you named some people that actually had a greater concern, you know, for people. See, when you have a love for people, it's certain things that you will do.
Wow.
So I just believe they had that with them. And not everybody that say that they have it in them really have it in them. Because if they, on both ends, no matter what party have the seat, if they start out with a heart of saying they care, that will remain.
Right. Watch it now.
If
watch
they
it
care.
Now. It don't matter if they're of the opposite party or not, does it, Pastor? If they care. It
doesn't matter. If they care, they're going to carry it out. And so that's why I said the brothers that you just named, man, they had a greater concern for the people, you know, and wanted to get people in the position to where they could understand that they deserve equal rights,
you know,
whether they cast a vote or not, still give them equal rights. So as I mentioned, those people that's on the street, if they could break away to do something like that,
what would they do? My God.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's the thing, man. So they got a heart. They would want to see, you know, people having equal rights in whatever area it's in. You know, and if you have that, you have a chance.
Sure. Let me ask this question, though, gentlemen. Is it that they don't have equal rights, or moreover that they don't know how to exercise those rights? Is that, which one is it? Is it that they don't exist, or they just don't know how? Don't recognize they exist and how to take advantage of them. Which one is it?
I think it's both.
What?
I think it's both. I mean, it can be both.
Explain
right.
Okay. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. How can it be?
We could vote when the laws were vanished. We didn't know how to do anything.
Okay. Interesting. Well, now,
but we can vote, but if we don't know how to vote, then how is your vote going to affect more people?
Interesting. Let me ask Pastor Wally this question. I'm messing with him. I know I'm messing with him. Pastor, do you think folk would vote for Christ, for Jesus Christ, or is he too clean?
Hey, man.
He's too righteous. Man, we can't mess with him because he ain't, you know, he ain't got no dirt on him. What do you think,
man? No, man. I tell you, that'd be a little bit much like right, you know,
wait
to say
minute.
That we're going to do. Yeah, that'd be something added, you know, to say, okay, well, he is the one that we need to follow. So we just recommend and just let it be and be all right. Because it's like until we give him that, there'll be no peace anyway, because he said in his word, right. In me, but in the world, you'll have tribulation. He said, be of good cheer. So he was the one that, you know, one should put out there before they go into the vote game in which they're dealing with both parties. But since they just talk that talk to say that he is the main line of time, once they get the plot, they forget all about him. That could be the case why things are so like they are, you know, and if they take time out to include him, then it would be a lot better, I'm sure. I just like, you know, believe that it would, but everybody just don't believe in it, man, and that's a part of it also.
Well, okay. Josh, maybe not Jesus. What about Job? Would they vote for Job, Josh? Maybe not Jesus. Maybe Jesus is too high up there. What about Job? Could they mess with Job? I'm asking you, can you think folk in 2022 would vote for a character like Job? An upright man who eschewed evil, knew no wrong, strived to serve God, brought his children before the presence of God every year, and still got set up.
Yes, but we are a fallen nation, so so. Even though he is so holy, he isn't the King of Kings, but he's holy. Still, we have so much dirt on us.
Wait a minute, man. Who you calling dirty?
we can't make things. It's not possible anymore.
My Lord. Man. Wow. Pastor, you try to catch me riding dirty, man. Say what?
Man, it's not possible anymore, man. Yeah. Pretty deep there, bro.
They see me rolling, and they hating on me. They trying to catch me riding dirty. What? Say what?
Yeah.
Oh, man. St. Louis is joining us, gentlemen. Welcome, St. Louis. We're talking from the topic about
President
Douglas. How you doing, sir? How are you
today? Where were you at last week?
My sister passed, and I'm so sorry. Yes, sir. I had to go out of town and, you know, a couple other things going on. So, but. Yeah, we're back now.
She passed. Well, we had to eat all that food we brought over. Well, nobody answered the door, so I figured you was gone.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Well, look, man, we're talking tonight, November 8th. You know that's the big election in America. And I've been talking with Josh and Tyson Waller about four guys, and I asked them, I know they're not here, but if they were here in 2022, who would they vote for, Democrat or Republican? I was talking about Frederick
Douglass. Would vote for a Republican like he did when he was living.
Let me finish. Fred Douglass, Carter G. Woodson, Brother Malcolm X, and Dr. King. Who would they vote for? Who you think they would vote for, and why? Now, what we just discovered, St. Louis, we've been discussing, probably ain't nobody that's going to do right anyway that's clean enough, you know. And Josh said we all dirty. Josh told me I was riding dirty, man. So I'm too dirty. So what say you to that, St. Louis? What say you to that?
Well, before that time in history, I'd say Douglas would have voted for the GOP.
Okay.
Yes, and of course, those that came up during the World War II era, World War I, World War II, career in Vietnam, would have voted for Donald Trump. Reagan and Trump, because Trump's message to make America great. Those that remember when it was great in manufacturing, production, when it was greater in opportunities and education compared to this now, you had more morals. Great nation.
Okay. So you're saying the country's had a stronger moral fiber? Is that what you're saying? During that era?
Had a stronger moral fiber. It had family values.
Interesting.
In those periods of time. You know that yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. I'm just... So who you think Brother Malcolm would vote for then? You know, he wasn't really... But
I don't think Malcolm voted at all. I don't know. I didn't agree with everything he said. I agree with his self-help message that he sent, but a lot of stuff he made mention that I didn't pay attention to.
See, the thing is,
with them, back in those times, you had these factions that was vying, attempting to capture black population, black groups, more black population. You had the Nation of Islam. Then you had those from a Christian standpoint. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear nothing about being no Muslim.
Then you had these
other fringe groups along the line of Black Power, like Republican New Africa that want 5 southern states to be turned over to black people. Well, black folks themselves don't want that. You know, it's funny, these groups always talking about what blacks want and need, but when you get to asking blacks and others other than their group, they say, we don't have nothing to do with them. And that's
interesting.
I was listening to a 1973 Tony Brown Journal panel discussion with about 12 people, including Fannie Lou Hamer, that other lady, Angela Davis, Touré, and some others. And they were still talking the same stuff as if they wanted to create a separate nation. And my question is, and I really appreciate Fannie Lou Hamer now. Don't let me take that wrong. I think she was a marvelous person and a very passionate woman. But these ideas of these separate nations, that ain't going no place. The people that talk that don't even want to instigate that. Then some of the same people that support the abortion on demand.
Okay. So that's kind of what Pastor Waller was speaking to, St. Louis. And that is, he didn't quite say it in those words, but he was saying that really what's missing in the political fight between the major parties is the discussion about humanity and really pretty much, I'll use your term, the moral, you know what I mean? And Josh even said that the nation has lost its, I'm paraphrasing, its spirituality. That was the time where we were more focused on those things, you know what I mean? And I don't know. Here in 2022, there's a lot of friends and groups and people get lost. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You can just ask your quarter, which party, and I'm a conservative. But ask the question, which party supports same-sex marriage?
Okay.
Which party supports abortion on demand, even to the point through the ninth month? Which party?
Here's the real question. This is what I started out in the monologue. Is it the party or is it the individual that
It's the party. Individuals in those parties couldn't do anything without the party backing.
So
look at that literature that they put out. Warmack down in Georgia, because I don't live in Georgia, don't have to vote for him. He supports making a proprietor do things that goes against their religious conviction. Like if you're a bakery
and somebody
say they want you to put a wedding cake and on top you put two figures of males, well, they refuse to do it. And then they stand to be prosecuted, trying to make them do these things.
Sorry.
Public schools.
Can I say,
yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. So I was just going to say this. I take your point there, but watch this. There are people like myself who's not affiliated with a party. You still got a vote. You still got a voice. And you can be righteous. You can be upright. And you don't have to allow those parties to push you down that road. You understand what I'm saying? Either one, you know, any of those parties. So if you're making your own individual choice, that's what I wonder is these four men that we listed, if they would encourage people to vote based on your own conscience and what you believe is right, not necessarily what some party dictates or tell you. You understand? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's not the it's the interest. I voted for Democratic candidates before. A reason
okay.
is because of the interest that we shared okay. on a particular topic.
I see.
Tomorrow I'm going to a convention of states meeting.
Okay.
And it's Article 5 allows the states
mm-hmm.
to form a convention
mm-hmm.
and make changes
mm-hmm.
to the government.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The states mm-hmm. need to reel in the federal government. The federal government has gotten completely out of control. And the states have the power to do that.
Okay.
The states
okay.
have the power to tell the federal government, we're not going to do it. You got the power
okay.
to tell courts that. Because
can I chime in?
Because courts are not supposed to make laws. They
one
only
second,
can give opinions. And sure. federal judges only serve, especially the Supreme Court, according to good behavior. They're not supposed to serve for life. That's nowhere in the Constitution. Go ahead.
All right, Josh, go ahead. What were you gonna go ahead? What were you gonna say?
Now this is just gonna get deeper and deeper and deeper. Whichever president we choose to represent, no
mm-hmm.
matter white, black, or Mexican, or whatever race,
okay,
it is going to get more racial, more democratic, more just more violent.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to go backwards.
Mm.
And that is a fact because it says it. And so all of that is inreliable. And if you don't read the Bible, that's all right because it's also in Democratic news report also. So
okay.
if you don't believe one, you have to believe in the other.
Okay.
This is already was getting more worse. Now it's just like I don't even know how to explain it. But you can
let me jump in there for a second. That's interesting because, gentlemen, what the framers created was a republic form of government. And the United States is not the only government that is structured that way. And essentially, the difference in a republic form of government and a democratic or other is that it is one where the people have the say, not the government. You see what I'm saying? We don't have a parliament because it's not based on, you know, what some class of people that control it, but the voters, it's the individual people, government of, for, and by the people. They get to choose. The process, though, is a democratic process by which they choose who represents them. And I think what has happened, St. Louis, Pastor Wallace, mm-hmm. is that we've gotten further and further away from understanding that it's up to the people, that those that are governed, who have the choice of how they should be governed. Go ahead, St. Louis, what were we going to say?
Yeah, the states elect the president, not
okay.
a democratic people. Read the Constitution. The state electors,
right?
They're the one
right.
that puts the president in office.
Okay.
It is the states that send democratically elected representatives to Congress.
Correct.
At one time, the state legislature chose the U.S. senators. Until later on, then they let it go to a vote.
Right, right.
So that's how this thing operates. I hear blacks saying they need to get out and vote. I mean, the reality of it is blacks cannot control no state election. They don't have the population.
Okay.
None whatsoever. So it won't be their persuasion. They would have to be going in agreement with others that would vote the same way.
I see. Josh, go ahead. I don't want you to forget yourself. Go ahead, Josh. Go ahead.
It is all about you and how you see your if you are a racial, if you are Democratic, if you are Democrat, if whatever you are, then it comes to how you vote. Then it comes to how the vote are coming out. Then it comes to, okay, there are this host there, there's this host there, and all that. And then it comes to, okay, I have an election. And this is the election. I have this election. This is the president now.
Okay.
So you have to do a lot of steps to make these steps to make a president.
I see. Well, let me go back to something early on in the conversation that Pastor Waller brought up. And that is, there are so many people whose lives are in such shambles or disorganization that they just can't bring themselves to think about all that, Joshua. And maybe they would. Maybe if there was some sensible person that could come to them, right, and guide them through a process of bringing sensibility to their coexistence, maybe they can think about all these things, about the political, electoral process and voting for president and senator and whatever. But right now, they're just trying to survive. Did I misquote you, Pastor? And I really wonder if that's where the core of it is. Did I quote you wrong, Pastor, there? when I know I paraphrase it a little.
Truth. That's just the truth about it. You know, I mean, if you stand firm on, you know, equal rights. When it says equal rights, it doesn't talk about who's big and who's less than, and you know, it just talks about simply, you know, as Josh earlier said, something that was very valuable to me when I heard it, because you asked a question about those guys that you made mention of, what did they say, who they vote for and things like that. When you have a heart for the people, when you have a heart for the people and you jockeying for a vote, that's what you basically doing to get the seat. So you be the one who is calling state. And right from the start, you present with a genuine heart, no matter what party it is, and you get the slot. But that what you started out with is no longer that way anymore because you got the slot now. Your care for the people all of a sudden is no longer there. So what does that say about any party, no matter what it is, because the other party is going to say, you're not doing what's right, so if this other person party hadn't got the seat, then this other party would say, well, you're not doing what's right. So how is it that you're on the same accord, and once the person gets the seat, then whoever it is that was against it should automatically come on in and say, okay, we're with you. We're going to go according to what it is that you're putting out there. It don't have nothing to do with whether I like it or not. It has to do with who got the slot. If that's not going on, then right out the gate, it wasn't in the best interest of heart for the people, because those people that you named really have a great concern for the people. This is what I'm asking this question. Who believes that they had the right heart for the people, or do they just want to say, I can get the slot so I can say what I want to say, do what I want to do, and forget about what I started out with, and that is being there for the people. You know, that's what we need. Wow. Who's going to stand up for the people?
I hear what you say. I hear what you say, Mr. Wallace, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. When you vote for somebody, that person's supposed to be carrying out your wishes, not their own. That's where the problem lies. People vote for somebody and sit back and wait and see what happens. Right. On a local level, you're supposed to choose that person, elect them, and give them their marching orders. And if they don't do it, you call them back and you get rid of them.
Okay, that's all I'm saying, because if they don't have the right motives, if they stepped up at the beginning,
I have some.
One second, Josh. Let
them say, hey, what about what you talked about in the beginning? And if it's not being carried out, I can understand what you just said then. Go back.
Yeah. And say, but in black communities, that's the best paying job it is for certain families. That's why they stay there 35 and 40 years. Now, to be truthful, be on the real thing with you, that don't make no damn sense. Because if you can go on YouTube and listen to panel discussions of people on Tony Brown and others talking about the same problems they're talking about 50 years later in 2022, that should tell you something.
Okay, let me get Josh in here right quick, St. Louis. Come on, Josh, right quick. I got, man, look at the time. Dang, we got 10 minutes here. Go ahead, Josh.
Okay. We are supposed to do things for the people. We are supposed to be for ourselves. That's what you got wrong. We are supposed to do things for other people. That is what you said. I mean, what you didn't say. We are supposed to do things for other people. That is what actually we're supposed to be doing things for.
I agree with that.
Okay. Well, that it begs the question, what is public service? You know, you're supposed to be serving the public, not your own self-interest. I think that's what he was St. Louis alluding to. There are people who go into office only for their own selfish interest and
people,
not what's in the best interest of the public.
People that's more economically situated is not going to be voting for the same thing that people that is not economically situated. It's not going to happen. It doesn't make good sense. If that's the case, why come the people that's not that's in economic dry state, I mean, a status, vote for the people who are not in that status? Why don't they vote for the people that the ones that's in the middle and the upper class? Why don't they vote for their candidates?
Interesting.
But
interesting.
You want them
okay.
to vote for your candidates.
Well, and I'll go back to this point. I'll go back to this point. It's really the individual vote that counts. Now, when we start getting into collective groups and having an agenda, you understand, an agenda-driven or organization of voters, that's good. I think there's a place for that. However, what it should not do is, because say I have an agenda that another population of the people don't share, I get in office, I still have to represent all of the people in a particular district.
No,
I have the duty to represent their interests.
Yeah, well, yes, you're supposed to be beholden to your constituents, and your constituents can call you back to the carpet. But you don't have to be beholden to California. You don't have to be beholden
no,
to Texas.
Right. That's right.
I
no,
hear
no,
people
right.
talking. I hear people in Missouri, some of these loud mouths, talking about what's going on in California. Like you had this one council person, a Latino. She's speaking up for Latino, the Latin constituents. And this is another thing. You hear black folks always talking about, yeah, first is we blacks. Now they talking about we blacks and browns. Well, them browns don't think about you. They don't mention you, just like you just had a recording release in this conversation with this alder person or this council person and others.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. We'll conversation.
Put another quarter in the slot.
Well, we've been talking from this topic about November 8th that's coming up. That's a real date. And it's an opportunity for people to vote, have their voice heard. I wonder what they would do, what their motivation. I get the sense that a lot of them are going to stay at home. And this is why. Because many of them share the view that of the major two-party system, one robbed the bank historically, and the other one drove the getaway car. Both of them done committed a crime. And my money is
okay.
My money.
Well, the party worked good for me. Donald Trump done things that you married, your standardized deduction doubled, right?
I got you. I'm just saying, St. Louis.
But you don't say it. I mean, see, you don't say, yes, it did. You don't get into detail. Only time people get into details is when it's something negative. The standardized deduction went from $12,000 to $24,000 for those who file married and jointly.
I don't have a problem with acknowledging that, just like I can acknowledge the fact that there's been a reversal of those type of progressive things since the current administration, right? But the point is that really doesn't matter because historically speaking, when it comes to these two-party systems, it's about what the party wants, and oftentimes the people lose, and that's the only point I'm making. And I'm not just talking about me personally. I'm talking about people in general because I'm going to get mine one way or the other. Even if I have to come to St. Louis house and take it, I'm going to get mine. You understand what I'm saying?
The Constitution guarantees individual rights, not group rights. I want people to understand that. They need to read it. It guarantees group. Just like that new judge said that the right to bear arms is according to the court, is a fundamental right. But that's not true. It's not a fundamental right. It's a God-given right. There's a difference.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do, man, we got 4 minutes. Let's get a final thought from everybody. about a minute from everybody, and then we'll wrap up. Great conversation. Great conversation. Josh, give me a minute right quick, man. Give me a minute right quick.
This was a God given discussion, and I hope and pray that we do it again. Also, I hope that we do other discussions close to this discussion.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate that, sir. Appreciate you. All right, St. Louis, give me a final.
People.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, St. Louis.
It's what you liberals do. You don't like us conservatives to talk, and you mute us. Then they say, oops. I'm glad we ain't out hunting rabbits.
Go ahead, man. Go on, man.
People
on
need
that.
To read and understand the U.S. Constitution and how this country was formed. That is the cornerstone of the nation.
Okay. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we're going to try to stay on track. Lord willing, we'll be back next Tuesday for another discussion there, Josh. We'll definitely do our best to bring more robust discussion as such. Thank you, St. Louis, for joining us tonight, my friend. All right. Pastor Wallace, I'm going to have to make
yeah, it's been great.
Hot. It's too
yeah,
hot.
It's
I'm
been
to
great.
It.
Yeah, it has. It's been great. Truly have. And I just enjoyed hearing the brothers, you know. And just continue to do what you're doing, Pastor Doctor. Keep up the good work. And may God continue to strengthen you through the process of what you desire to do. Because the word of God is real, you know, and you've been striving to do things according to his will, man. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We need somebody to lean on, and he's waiting to lean on. So I just yield back to you on that note. Yeah. Worthy of it.
All right. She said 90 seconds. All right. Yeah. Well, God bless, man. Appreciate that. Josh, we look forward to trying to come back here next Tuesday for another discussion there with you. The Mighty Klaus Joy said that Jesus.
And when you need a friend